bed last night thinking, what if they've got that decanter? And I'm like this, you know, water we can coat within a bottle. And you don't know I'm nervous. Giving it away now. Right, this morning we are going to start the first of two vision services. All right. In 2 weeks' time, we've got our anniversary service on the 16th. Woohoo! Cheers of delight from the crowd. I love it. So we've got our anniversary service, and I am here this morning as part of the regional steering group. Okay. You'll be aware we've got six regions for Stirling Baptist, going all the way from Cumbernauld, Clackmannanshire, Stirling, right the way over to Falkirk and Doon and all these beautiful areas and everything in between. Big, big area. And within each region, we have approximately 100 people, give or take a few. All right? So my part of the regional steering group is to cover missions. All right? We have here small groups. So we've got small groups covered. We've got pastoral groups covered. And I'm the missions person, for those of you who didn't know. It's been my privilege over the last few weeks to meet some of the cell group, home group, small group, whatever you want to call yourselves, group leaders, along with Alistair and Heather and Rab. And it's been really insightful to hear how your small groups are working and the great things that are coming out of those and the studies that you're doing and the interaction that you're having. And so my purpose in all of this is to encourage us or to envisage us to be more outward looking. All right. We're great at supporting each other. And that's the feedback I'm getting. If someone's in need, the group gather around. If someone's in need, the pastoral group are triggered off into action and they're there. They're helping. But what about the people outside of our groups? All right. Life is difficult. Relationships, family, marriage, neighbours and work relationships don't always go according to plan. They're not always smooth running. Employment, lack of employment, too much work, stress with too much work, perhaps. Family issues, whether it's children and education, health, behavioural issues, infertility and the pain that that brings. Financial problems, debt, a lot of debt, I'm sure. A lot of gambling issues as we're seeing multiple adverts. How many of us on our phone get gambling, you know, adverts on TV repeatedly? That's going to be, I think, a huge problem in the not too distant future. Ill health, short term, long term, emotional, physical, the seen and the unseen issues that we have to deal with. How many of us can say that as believers we have been immune to all of these issues? Not one hand raised. We are not immune as believers, are we? And have you ever felt thoroughly hopeless, where a situation looks so bleak you cannot see a way out or a way forward? As Christians, we are fortunate that we have the support of those round about us. And it's in those times that the neighbours or our other believers round about us, it's their faith that kicks into action. It's their prayers that support us and hold us and lift us up, don't they? But imagine if you didn't have that support network. Imagine if you did not know one other believer who could pray on your behalf, who could perhaps give you a hug and say, I can't fix it, but I'll pray for you. Imagine if you had nobody just to give you a word of encouragement or somewhere to take you to for peace, like this morning here. That's what unbelievers are facing every single day. As we look round about our communities, I guarantee you every single household will be struggling with one, if not all, or a few of the issues we've mentioned this morning. With hopelessness, with no support, with no security of Christ's love, with no hope that I can't fix it, but ultimately God is in control. None of that. No multicoloured aspect of excitement, of joy potentially there on the horizon. Not one scrap of silver lining. That's what it's like for our unbelieving friends who have not yet encountered Christ. That to me sounds pretty hopeless. And that to me is what drives me forward under this whole missions banner. Those around us have no hope, but our small groups are beacons of light in amongst a world of darkness. The word talks about being salt and light. How can we be salty if we're not out there? If we're not out infiltrating the communities in which we live? If we're keeping this wonderful gift of hope to ourselves, what use is that? We aren't saved for our own benefits. We're saved to help others come on board and take them with us on this journey. People, if our Christian walk seems black and white and a bit dull at times, then let me share with you some ways that perhaps will give us a glimmer of hope, that perhaps will make our walks with God a little bit more exciting. Who's ready for a journey? This morning I'm going to take us on a journey. Okay, I'm going to take us on a journey. We can come up with many great ideas of evangelism. And for some of us, we're gulping at the very thought of it. Not for me, not on your Nelly. That's for the mission people. That's for the people in Africa. That's for the folk that went to Pabani. Nothing to do with me. I'll just go about my merry little life. I'm sorry, that's not an option. That's not an option. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." What does this look like to us here in Stirlingshire, Clackmannanshire, and Falkirk? What does it look like? What does your nation look like? What emotions does that conjure up in you? Fear? That's just for the missionaries, and absolutely no chance that's not for me. I was that very person. I was a very person that don't make me tell them I'm a Christian. You know that gulp of fear? I can be nice, I can be polite, but don't tell them I even believe in God or go to church or lead a small group or anything like that or involved in worship. That was a fear built in me. And only God can conquer that fear. How many of us know that we can be full of fear and full of apprehension, but when God says something, the heart changes? Have you ever experienced that? And you're taken forward, yeah? And you look back at yourself and you think, that wasn't me. There's no way I've just done that. There's no way I just stood up and spoke. There's no way I just took a big gulp and went and told that person I was going to pray for them. May 2003, it all changed for me. At a weekend away we had in a previous church, it was called an Encounter Weekend. And it was a weekend where we went through a lot of self-analysis. First of all, looking at where we are privately between us and God, and we were given what was termed the sin list. A bit heavy for a Friday night, I know, no glass of wine, it was the sin list instead. 3 pages of stuff, and I can tell you, it was quite hard to go through, but we were given these pages and we went to our rooms at night on our own, and between us and God, in all honesty, we had to go through and tick the areas. Yeah, I'm struggling with that. Yeah, I do think like that sometimes. Yes, perhaps we have dabbled in the occult. Perhaps we have been involved in pornography. I'm not saying, no, this is not confession time, folks, okay? Let me just say, not a confession time. But between us and God, we had the complete freedom to be honest with him. So as part of all of that, we had then some teachings and some experiences with God that between us and him, and God just worked us through all these different areas. And by the end of the Saturday night, we turned around and again, between us and God, we looked at our sheets. And I can tell you, after every weekend I went on, every single one of those things listed, God had dealt with. How beautiful is that? And then we burned them on the Saturday night. As part of that whole process, my fear was, my confession was, Lord, I've not been involved in leading someone to you. And I'm terrified of it. But when God said to me in Mark 1:17-18, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. So when Jesus called the disciples, they didn't sit with their nets and think, "All right, Lord, you know, when I've finished this knot, when I've just sorted out this catch, when I've had my tea, I'll come." It's not, no, at once they left their nets and followed him. Jesus spoke, they followed. When Jesus spoke to me through that passage, I followed. Subsequently, there were people that God miraculously put in front of my path, and my eyes were opened. I think, who am I going to be praying for? I was going to the gym, I was involved with things with the twins, they were just babies at the time, all sorts of different things. And before I knew it, there were 7 people on my list that I was praying for. 7 people God had given me, I believe, to just connect with, to be real with. One of those was a friend that I had known since the twins were born. In fact, before that, when I was at beauty college. And we just stayed in touch. And it wasn't until a few years on, she knew I was a Christian by this stage. I'd kind of managed to blurt that out somewhere along the line. But that relationship meant I built friendship with her. I was praying for her. And I was given the right to speak into her life. We can't go speaking into people's lives if we haven't earned that right. Yeah? Who are we to judge? But when God gives us a word for that person, it's the right time. And I discovered very shortly after being given this verse, fishers of men, right, Lord, how am I going to do this? That this girl's life was somewhat chaotic. Her home life was very chaotic. And there was all sorts of very weird supernatural things going on in that house. And I remember the question, "Amanda, is it normal to have ghosts in your house?" Thanks, Lord, you've dropped me right in it. Here's a biggie. Funnily enough, no, it's not normal. And we were chatting, and through a series of interactions and meetings at her home, I'm not going into, she, her mum, and her sister all became saved. Every single one of them, and I remember leading them to the Lord on the phone and thinking, yes, I've done it. I've achieved it. 3 in, more to go, right? They were discipled and taken on accordingly. So that was May. Then in January, God thought, I've got another little mission for Amanda to do. And very clearly, again, another weekend, the encounter weekend again, the passage, "Go into all nations, baptizing, and the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," was what God jumped out the page to me. But God didn't just say, "Go into all nations." God said, "Go into all nations, France, baptizing." And I'm like, wait a minute. Dunfermline, I can do. France is a different kettle of fish. But do you know, with all assurance and certainty, I knew that's what I had to do because God said it. It was certainly not ever on my radar. So we've gone from being fearful, which I'm sure some of us are, to saying nothing, to leading some people to the Lord, to connecting with some friends, to being called to mission. Big spectrum in the space of a year, yes? Big gap. So good ideas are great to come up with and how we can connect with people. And I'm going to share some of the ideas that we used as a couple when we were away in France. Great ideas, but do they bear fruit? So this morning I want to share with us the ideas that I believe God gave us that we can replicate here that do actually bear fruit. Because they've done it in the past, so why not do that again? We're going to look first of all at Joshua 1:1-9. So I'm just going to read this to us. So this is the book of Joshua, and it's about an eighth of the way from the front of the Bible. And let me just read this to you under the heading, "Be Brave." All right, number one is be brave. "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which your sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river and the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory.'" So as far as the eye can see. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord shall give you this people, will give you the possession of this land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to it from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you will be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What jumps out at you from that passage? Three times God says, be strong, be courageous. Three times on the back of saying, every place on which your soul, the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. The land is ours, folks. We've read the end of the book. We know God is God. We know Christ is Christ. We know that the enemy is our footstool. Okay? So what have we got to fear? What have we got to fear? If God is in us, why are we fearful of other people? If Almighty God, who created the heavens, the earth, and everything in between, is in us, why should we be fearful of wee genie down the street going, what a load of rubbish. I'm sorry. God is God. He's in us. The land is ours for the taking. The people just need to hear. We started off when we were away on our journey of planting this church in France by building relationship through friendship. So that's a good place to start. If we're uncomfortable, let's build relationship through friendship. Let me just share some stories of people who were impacted through friendship. First couple were Gordon and Claire, and we helped them move house when we were away. And they were moving from one rented accommodation to a house that they'd bought and were partly building. In France, everyone's partly building houses. There's always major renovation projects going on. So certainly Tim helped load up the van, put all the stuff in, and off we went. And we just really connected with this family. They're an English family. They'd been in France that few years longer than us. The kids were roughly the same age as Chloe and Taylor, although there was a daughter a wee bit older. So when we started Kids Church very shortly after arriving, their two kids came to church because they were really glad of having 2-3 hours on their own without their children. So bring them to us. We'll have them for a couple hours in the morning. You go to market, do whatever you want to do. Come back, have a bit of lunch. Job done. Great. Now, how many of us, our parents, are thankful when someone offers to take our children for 2 hours? Little did they know it was the beginning of a very interesting journey that God had for their lives. We then ran on and thought we'd do Alpha. So we did Alpha on one-to-ones. This is friendship through moving house, building relationship, the kids coming to Kids Church. Thought, we'll just do Alpha on a one-to-one. We didn't have a big group. We started with the one. So Gordon came to Alpha. By week 2, Gordon was saved. By week 3, Gordon was filled with the Holy Spirit. By week 4, Gordon was healed of a really bad chest infection he had. And I remember vividly standing praying for him. And he's like, whoa, what was that? I said, that would be God. He's like, that's quite powerful. Yeah, God's quite powerful. And that man's life was radically changed. He had dreams. He was hungry for the word. He was self-employed and traveling back to England regularly for work. But now not doing it under his own steam, doing it with God. Reading the Bible, sharing the word with people in his workplace, wasn't he? He was one transformed guy. The kids were transformed. I don't know what's happening with Claire just now, but I know that a journey has begun for that family. And when we started church, they came to church. Under duress sometimes, yes, that's kids for you. But they came, and Tim worked really well with the kids, and they loved it. Carol, we befriended. Carol ran the local corner shop. All right? Carol, too, was English, had been in France for probably about 10 years by that stage easily. I was living with her partner, who she'd been with 17 years. He'd 3 kids. And well and truly a unit. Just a great girl. The Bible talks about find the man of peace. Find the key holder, the man of peace in that place. She was that man of peace. She knew everybody and their granny because everybody came into the shop. Great person to connect with. Through Carol, we found somewhere to live. Right? Through Carol, we had friendship formed. Natalie, her youngest daughter, came to Kids Church along with Gordon and Claire's children. So now we had 3 plus our 2, 5. Carol came to Alpha on a one-to-one. And she started off by saying, I'm on the edge of like a swimming pool, is that right? And that's where I'm at with God. I think there's something there, but I'm just not ready to jump in. By week 2, Carol was saved. By week 3, Carol was filled with the Holy Spirit. By week 4, Carol was well and truly on her journey, wasn't she? Well and truly on her journey. One radically transformed woman who was filled with wisdom beyond belief. She was solid. You know when someone's just solid? They're who you go to if you've got an issue. She's sound. Full of godly wisdom like that. Amazing download into her life. Not only that, Carol decided that through nothing we said, and I can guarantee this, she decided that she should marry her partner of 17 years. So she did. And the mayor performed the legal ceremony, and Tim and I had the pleasure of blessing and running the godly ceremony, if you like, in their friend's garden. First wedding I've been to, 35 degrees with your sun cream. I'd recommend it any time. Slapping on the sun cream, hiding in the shade with the champagne, doing the blessing and all the rest of it. What an amazing time. That couple were radically impacted through God, made whole. That child was saved. She's saved. I don't know what's happened to Gary. That's between him and God. But that journey has begun through friendship, someone in a corner shop. Monique was a Frenchwoman who came down southwest to France where we were. She was shipped down, if you like, as an emergency because her husband had been very abusive towards her and had attempted murder. He was in prison in the north of France. So Monique came with her daughter and her son. Her son came to church, to kids' church. Numbers were growing. Monique was in a mess, as you can imagine. A mess. I could not speak fluent French for toffee. I could confidently muddle through, but Carol spoke fluent French. She moved next to Carol. That friendship was struck. Monique came to church with her pidgin English and my pidgin French. We got there. And I remember praying for her and God just really working in her life. One of those, whoa, what happened there moments, just like Gordon had had. We'd also connected with another Scottish couple who were trained in Christian counselling and happened to live out there too. Well, what do you know? Put this couple with this woman that we'd met who was in a mess. And what happened after a few weeks counselling? That woman was set free. That woman's healing had well and truly begun. She was no longer a nervous, broken woman. She was becoming a confident woman, sure of her God, sure of her destiny, and her son was saved. Great. Through friendship with somebody at a corner shop. Do you see? Little things have massive consequences. Pete and Donna were a couple we met at a meal we had every summer in the square in France. And we sat down beside them, an English couple. They had 5 sheets-ish. Fabulous couple. We just totally hit it off. And because we were les Anglais in the area with a new business adventure, so they thought, we connected. When the English come together and we're all there together, we're fighting together, we're supporting each other, we're fighting to survive in a foreign land. So naturally, you support each other when you're out your comfort zone. And Pete and Donna actually came to church. My jaw dropped. And I remember when we eventually opened our doors for church, I said, there's people coming. There's people coming. Yes, Amanda, there's people coming. And there's Pete and Donna. Oh, man! And there's so-and-so. And there's Carol. And there's Gordon and Claire. And there are the kids. And there's this. And they brought friends. So we had 20 on our first Sunday morning. All because we'd struck up friendship with these people. Pete and Donna were radically saved, Donna especially, when we were there, and Pete subsequently since we've come home. How? Because we talked about the Passion of Christ. We watched the Passion of Christ together. They came with a Galaxy chocolate thinking this was going to be a great night. Tissues, chocolate, film, fantastic. Like, no, I don't quite grasp the concept of this film. By the end, silence. Radically impacted by showing a film and God, and just let God do his thing. The land was prepared. The hearts were prepared. God is working in the lives of people round about us that we don't even know about. We've no idea what journey these people are on. Whether they've had a childhood faith that's gone pear-shaped. Maybe they're completely unchurched. And I love it when unchurched people come to church. And you're handing out the bread for communion. Be any butter for this? What did I do with this? It's like... And I'm like, okay, time out. It's fantastic because there's no airs and graces. There's no preconceived ideas. It's just, let's get cracking. This is God. I don't know about you, but this is what he's done in my life. Are you interested? And yes, God's interested in them and they become interested. So Donna was saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, hungry for the word. And when she and Pete cleaned their jeeps on a Saturday for the turnover, they took CDs of the sermons with them because the nature of the place was they were often working at weekends, so we recorded everything and you could take CDs like a library. For the whole week, they would listen to these CDs into one sheet, put it on, clean it. Next sheet. So they listened to everything at least 5 times. Boy, they were hungry. This girl would read her word and she'd be like, right, I'm shaking. I don't know what to do. What's happening with this? It's just like everything I open. And she was overwhelmed by the power of God. She's gone on to launch a women's ministry. She runs retreats in their jeets for Christian women. Imagine if we hadn't sat down to them at a meal. What would have happened? Pete had a gift of healing. Okay, from the wrong source at that time. But subsequently, he has been saved. And boy, God is healing and using him. His security, his peace, his solidity in God is infectious, isn't it? So simple things, sitting at a meal, chatting with someone at a shop, just helping someone move house. We've no idea what can come out of all of that. So be encouraged. Don't think that a little relationship with somebody, a week and a morning, and a passing by and having coffee can have no impact. There's the fruit right there. Ask God for the connections he wants you to have. Who is he giving you to reach out to during the week? Which names spring to mind? Perhaps you've got a blank mind just now. Ask him. He'll reveal one or two. He'll give you just what you can cope with, no more. No more than you can cope with. Every one of us is sitting here this morning because somebody somewhere in our past had the courage to strike up a relationship with us. Now, maybe you're first generation saved. Maybe you're umpteenth generation saved. But our faith is individual to each one of us. And we have to have had the connection somewhere for this to have come about. Are you satisfied with 3 services in a Sunday? I'm not. What about if we went to multiple services? Why not have an afternoon service? Okay, we're now gulping at the thought of the prospect. Who cares? Get them in. Get them in. We're a big church in a big area, but we could be at least double the size, folks. Double the size. Friendship, simple way to move forward. Okay, be generous to your community. Number 2, be generous. What about giving out little gifts of Easter eggs at Easter and an invitation to an Easter service? What if you were going to show the Passion of Christ in your small group home? How about it? Be brave. Leaflet the area. Hand out some invitations with little Easter cards and let's see what happens. We used to buy little lint eggs, didn't we? And we had some cellophane. I think Margaret sent us some cellophane over. And we made little bags, tied them up, and we put French verse on one side and in English on the other, handed them out to people. Boy, that is hard out there. Because the French are not very receptive to anything. In this country, we take anything that's free. Thank you, I'll have that. Free lunch, I'll have that. Invitation, 10% off, I'll have that. What about an Easter egg? I'll have that. Doesn't need to be a cream egg. Buy bulk lint eggs. Divvy them up so it's affordable. Get yourself a budget in your group. Work with it. What can we do with the little we have? God can multiply that. Leafleting was the first date that Tim and I ever went on. 1990, 19 years old. I was given a pile, I remember, of leaflets this size, weren't we? From Charlotte Chapel we were at the time. Go and hand these out. Oh, great. I know. I'll ask Tim to help me. So the deal was, if Tim helped me hand out all these leaflets, I would type a law essay for him. I tell you, we've never handed out leaflets so fast in our lives. They can go like that, folks. Go like that. Hand them out. The fruit is, I got a husband out of it. So if you're looking for a husband or a wife, okay, over here. Get your leaflets, hand them out, and let's see what God does. Gift wrapping at Christmas. We talk about it, but you know, we've never actually done it yet. What about shoveling snow in the winter? I remember when Mum and Dad, before you moved through here from Edinburgh, going through after that bad winter. Remember when we couldn't get out of Stirling for 2-3 weeks? Eventually we got through to Edinburgh. The snow was like this in the drive, and not one neighbour had helped in a situation of need, and had not one person had shoveled a path through to the front door. Physically incapable of doing it, my mum and dad, but not one person helped. Appalling. How many people round by you are physically incapable but just need that shovel taken out? You be the gritter in your area, in your street. If the gritter doesn't come round, how about getting a bucket, getting a spade, going out, putting it out? You'll be noticed. You'll be noticed. In our last street, we had, we all came out with tray, tea, biscuits or whatever it was we had. And it was a great way of gathering people together in our street through a need, through a need. Set up at the local gala. We all do local galas around here. What about helping set up? Say, look, our group would like to help with this. When do you need us? What time do you need us to help set up? What time do you need us to help clear up? In France, that's exactly what we did. We had a stall that we opened, and we learned how to face paint. I learned how to face paint with the book. Tim learned how to model with balloons. Some very suspicious-looking balloon models, I have to say. But after many hours of practice, we could recognise this was a parrot, that was a sword, and this was a flower, and we could get there. We learned. Learn a skill. Do it properly. Whatever you do, do it properly. Don't be half-hearted about it. Be intentional. We helped set up in the morning at 6:30. We were there till 1:30 the following morning, tidying up. Through a phone call, look, our church group would like to help set up. When do you need us? They're willing. They're willing you to come and help them. Who wouldn't like a hand lifting a trestle table? Great. It works. Be bold. Be bold. Let's have a wee look at Acts. I'm going to read this to you. This will just really blow you off your seats. All right, so relationships, first of all. Okay? So be relational, be brave and be relational. Be generous to your community. And now be bold. How are we doing? We're good for time. Right. Be bold. Acts 2, verse 29. Let me just read this to you. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us with this today. And so because he was a prophet and knew God has sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on the throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he had poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet. Now listen. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting, saying, be saved, repent, be saved from the perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. That's a lot of extra services, folks. 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Miracles, healings, set free, people being set free. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all and anyone who might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together and with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day all those who were being saved. What a story. The gospel was preached. The Spirit pierced the hearts of the people who heard the gospel. They questioned, well, what do we do? They were told to repent, be saved, be baptized. And then they were discipled. They were devoted to the teaching, fellowship, discipled, fellowship, and breaking of bread to communion. And they kept feeling a sense of awe. So they were constantly overwhelmed by God's magnitude, by God's power, from the word of the Lord, from the healings and signs and wonders that were taking place. And they were being added to daily. If you're feeling really brave, what about having a healing meeting? Why not? 5 years ago, we were involved in setting one up through in Dunfermline, where we previously lived, and we were asked, would you run a healing meeting? I'm like, okay, here we go. So we're now back in Scotland. This is very interesting. And we booked a room, we prayed, we got our speaker booked, we leafleted the area. What happened? About 40 people came to that meeting. 40 people came. Lives transformed. The gospel was preached. People were questioning how, why, what do we do? And God's healing power came. Signs and miracles with the gospel bring salvation. Bring salvation. So listen, one couple at that time were grieving through the loss of their son. They were stuck in a rut of grief. The leaflet came through the door. And the wife of that couple, something in her leapt. You know, we read about the Spirit and the leaping within us in reaction to this word. She knew she had to come to this meeting. That couple are now well and truly on a healing process. Their daughter came. She was childless at the time, she and her husband, and was suffering with infertility. Because of a leaflet, they came. She was prayed for. They now have two daughters. Another couple came. He had acute back pain. We prayed for him. God healed him. That couple now pastor the church that was launched as a result of that healing meeting. They have subsequently launched an additional church. So when I look at photos, I haven't a clue who's in these photos of this church or this church, but I know through obedience of leafleting and setting up and praying at a healing meeting, one man and his wife were influential in bringing all these people to God. Be obedient. Matthew 28 applies to each and every one of us. So I want to ask you some questions before the kids come in. I'm going to wrap it up. Okay? Some questions. Who are you praying for just now? Which God-given appointments are you having or looking for on a daily basis? Are you aware of the needs of those round about you and those that are needing Christ to be their hope as they struggle through life's challenges? We have that hope for sharing. Are we ready? Are we willing? Folks, it all boils down to our relationship with Christ. Where are we with that on a very personal level? How precious is Jesus to you? How reliant are you on the Holy Spirit? What's the reality of the cross in your life? If we go back to the very basics of this, we know, and I know, that when that becomes reality in our lives again, we can't help but reach out. So this morning I want us to reevaluate where we're at with Christ, because that's the bottom line. From there, we can move forward. I want us to go back to the cross and remember the moment when you first connected with Jesus. I want you to imagine the cross in front of you, that wooden, rough cross, the blood on the ground at the foot of the cross, the reality of Christ's death and resurrection, the brutality of the crucifixion. By Christ's stripes we are healed. By Christ's blood we are washed clean and forgiven. By the brokenness of Christ's body we are made whole. Through Christ's death and resurrection we have been given eternal life. That's the reality of where we're at. We've got a prayer team who are very happy, who are longing to pray with us. Perhaps this morning you need to go and just reconnect with Christ. Perhaps they can help you with that. Perhaps you do that yourself in a one-to-one. Folks, a little bit of faith and a heart to obey is all that God is looking for from us today. He is not looking to send you to deepest, darkest Africa. He is not looking to send you to somewhere where English doesn't even get spoken. He's looking for us to start where we are today, to be missional where we are today. Are you willing? I would love to set up a team within each region that I can help and support and encourage and just work alongside you to be bold enough to do whichever of these areas you would like to get involved in. If it's leafleting, let me walk with you. Let me encourage you in that. This is up to us. No one's going to reach these people if we don't open our mouths. Okay? Shall we pray? Let's just pray and go back to the cross and let's see what God can do in our lives from now on. Amen? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that, Father, our relationship with you, through you, Jesus Christ, is what ultimately brings us hope. And Father, this morning, Lord God, I pray that you would take us right back to the foot of the cross. That right now, this morning, you would reveal your face to us, Jesus. That as we look up at you and see your tear-stained face, and your scarred face, that, Father, the look of love of Jesus would just shine right into our hearts right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, as we look down at your hands that have been pierced for us, we thank you for the pain that you've gone through on our behalf. And as we look at your feet, Lord Jesus, that too are scarred very badly through being hung on the cross, we thank you that you were obedient to walking to that cross. We thank you that you were obedient to walking into that situation. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that this morning you would restore our faith in you, that you would take us back to that closeness that you want for each and every one of us here. And Father, we thank you that it's your heart to draw others into your kingdom. Father, we thank you that the harvest is ripe and plentiful. And Father, if we're necessary this morning, we ask you forgiveness for the times when perhaps we have allowed ourselves to be muzzled, to not speak of your goodness, to not say to someone we're praying for them. Father, we receive your forgiveness. We receive your wholeness. And Father, I pray this morning that you give us a renewed boldness in the name of Jesus. Father, open our eyes. Open our eyes, Lord God, to the needs of those around us and how people need you, Lord God. Break our heart for what breaks yours, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask and I thank you that you give us no more than we can cope with. Father, I thank you that you meet us where each one of us are at. And this morning, Lord God, I pray that you birth something within each one of us that will bear good fruit, Father God. Not just great ideas, but good fruit. Lives transformed, pastors birthed, children moving into faith. Father, as we hear the kids coming up the stairs now, Father, I thank you for each and every one of those lives. I thank you that through relationship, Lord God, with you, they can know fullness in you. I thank you for the future you have set out, not only for us, but for them. I thank you for the lives that you will radically impact through each and every one of those children and through us. Father, we thank you for the souls that will be saved in your name. I thank you for the missionaries that will be birthed out of these children. I thank you for the people in politics that will be birthed out of these children. I thank you for the influence in the community these kids will have. Father, I thank you for the lives that will be won as a result of relationship with you and with those around us. So, Father, bless them and bless us in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.